Welcome to the first episode of the Creators Workshop. I am AJ, your host for this series where we talk about all things creativity and how to jumpstart your, creativity. So as I said, I'm AJ, and with me I have my very good friend Mary. She is an artist. She's one of my best friends since sixth grade now, and I'm very grateful that she is joining me today. Say hello, Mary.
Hello, hello, hello. Wonderful world, wonderful people. I'm glad to be here.
The entire time I was like praising you, your face was like.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know, I have severe anxiety. Just as a heads up.
And yet she still agreed to let me make her talk.
Yep. It's because we've been friends for so long. I don't really have an opinion anymore. I just say yes.
Exactly. I say, let's do it. And she says, okay. Okay. So let's start with a little bit of introduction. So I am a writer. I'm not a professional writer. I don't write full time, but if you write, you're a writer. So I'm a writer, and I do basically anything and everything under the sun. I write poetry, I write fiction, I write fantasy, write sci-fi every once in a while. I'm working on an audio drama right now that you can actually look up also on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. It's called CTP, Contain, Train, Preserve. And Mary is actually helping me on that project as well a little bit in the background. So you will not hear her voice on that, but you will hear her amazing skills in writing on that. Mary, what do you do?
Well, for me, I'm an artist, if we're going off technical terms. I draw, I paint, I animate. I'm hoping at some point to be in the animation industry. So,
hey, that rhymed.
Look at me. Well, the next Dr. Seuss in the making. That's why I'm writing on her podcast right now.
Oh, yeah.
Or eventually. And at the moment, actually, since we're on the topic of creative projects, I know I'm working on a comic called Cities of Smoke, but eventually I'll get out there in the world. But I also am working on a children's book with my good friend here, your lovely host, AJ.
Oh, yeah. We're super stoked about that. Mm-hmm. So there will be more about that, I'm sure, because I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. And we'll definitely post about that on our website and stuff. So let's get started talking about creativity. So the topic that we kind of going to play around with today is creator's block, writer's block, artist block. Say that 10 times fast. Artist block.
Yes.
Because we are both blocked.
Yeah.
Joy to the world. Yeah, that's fun. But so there's always different kinds of block because I do writer's block, as every writer does eventually.
As you do.
As you do. But Mary, you don't write a ton.
Not a ton, no.
Not a ton. But you do get blocked because that's how every creator is. So we're rebranding blocking into the generalized overall term of creator's block.
Yep.
What does creator's block look like for you, Mary?
So now, for me, it's kind of interesting because I know, like with writer's block, I experience a little bit. I'm actually writing a book. I have a lot of projects going on. I will go into this further. And so, mainly with artist block, it's such a weird topic because if any of you are artists, you understand like how much brain power that has and how much pressure there is, especially if you go into social media and things like that, because then you start comparing.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. I'm sure you could probably understand that in the writer's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, usually, a majority of the time, what happens on why I get into artist block is I will come up with so many different ideas, so many grand ideas that I wish I could just snap my fingers and get all done in one sitting. But unfortunately, I can't do that because I don't have multiple arms yet. maybe in the future, as technology develops, I can get to that point, but I can't right now. And so I'll get so many ideas in my head and I'll build up on each of these ideas, but then I'll end up like stopping and just being burnt out from thinking about it all, even though I didn't touch the paper. And then I don't want to draw. I don't want to create ever, like for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's
very, very annoying.
Sorry, I know I was making weird faces and noises while you were talking. I spilled my sweet tarts all over my desk. So I'm like trying to collect all my sweet tarts while you're talking at the same time.
Yeah, because I saw you and you're like laughing, but you're trying like to hold it in. It's like some weird contortion.
Just give me a second while I pick up my sweet tarts.
No, you're good, you're good.
They went everywhere. I don't think the dog's allowed in my room for a little while.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that was a little bit of a derail. We don't believe in rails, though.
We don't believe in rails. Never have, never will.
Mm-mm. No such thing. Yeah, and I feel like if you are in any creative community or any creative place, because you know you have writers, you have artists, you also have podcasters, which I am also one of. You have even photography is a art form that I don't feel like gets enough credit or respect sometimes, because
it really doesn't.
Yeah, photographers are great people. My sister, both of them actually technically, are both very big on photography, and it's a lot of hard work from what I've seen. I'm not a big photographer person, but respect to you guys, because you guys are great at what you do. Musicians, another form of creator. All of these people, there are so many different kinds of creators, and in each little segment, like there's so many different kinds of writers and different musicians and different artists. And when you really break it down, there's so many different people who do the exact same thing as you that you feel so judged. 24/7. And it's honestly, it's just you. Well, in most cases, it's just you. It's your brain. There's gonna be people out there. Your work is not for everyone, which is something that everyone has to learn at some point. It's not everyone is gonna like what you do. No matter what you do, there are going to be people who hate it.
Oh yeah, actually, with bringing that up, a big thing that I've seen, like, because I've been drawing for 6 years now, like going on 7, and so, well, I've been drawing my entire life, but more professionally, I guess, for 6 or 7 years. And so I've gotten to that point where I've gotten past like social media, like influencing me so much more as like taking inspiration from it, right? Kind of knowing like what the trends are. I'm like for posting and all that, not that I ever post, but I'm hoping to get back into it. And so the idea of like following trends and all, but you have a lot of, in my case, a lot of young artists who are so stuck up on the idea of numbers and like likes or views or comments, the nice comments, and then having that be such a critical thing and if I'm good or not. And the thing is that that's not what determines it. Realistically, if you're going to post for you, don't post for views. That shouldn't be the expectation, because if that is, you're going to disappoint yourself, because the algorithm and social media can vary so much. It's like a roller coaster. Like sometimes it'll be good, sometimes it won't. There's certain things that'll be more popular than others. And it's just a matter of just letting yourself be creative. And if you want to post there, I'd recommend it more or less as a portfolio type of thing, just like to catalog everything. But I wouldn't be so stuck up on that.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like the media just uses that so much of how many likes or subscribers or whatever you have, when in reality, there are some really great artists, and like, since I said subscribers, YouTubers or musicians who don't have a lot of people listening or reading or watching or whatever that nobody's paying attention to, but they're great at what they do. And so leading back to the post for you, create for you. My podcast platform is Family Friendly Podcasts, which unfortunately is not something that you see very often anymore. It's hard to trust kids with a phone when you have so much stuff on the internet. But it's also not what a lot of people like to listen to or watch or read or whatever. And I don't let that define what I create. I have had comments on my writing and stuff that would say things like, your writing would be more realistic if you added some swear words, or if you changed this element and made it more like this. And every time it makes me sad, for one, because I'm like, no. And for two, I ignore most of that because I don't follow exactly. I like to do what I like to do.
That's right. You go, girl.
But that being said, you also have to have a backbone as a creator, because there are going to be people who don't like it, but there are going to be people who are going to be very helpful with critiquing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know so much on the artist standpoint, if you have a lot of comments that are like, you can draw better like this, or even if those are good comments, really.
Mm-hmm. So essentially what we have, that's another thing like a lot of young artists get on, is not understanding the difference between a hate comment and a critique. Because there are certain critiques where you're just being mean, but there's also helpful critique. And it's the ability to interpret that and be willing to listen to it, because that's going to be the way you improve. Because if you think you're perfect now, there's no need of improving your skills further. Not that you're a bad artist, but you could push yourself further. And so it's very unfortunate when you see artists get so defensive, like, no, but it's beautiful now. Why are you being rude to it? And it's like, well, you could study anatomy, because I don't think the arm goes on top of the head usually. Like, but it's things like that where that's a big, big thing in the art community that a lot of young artists don't get over. But a lot of like other artists, it's like, how did you get so good? Well, because we did our own thing. And because we just focused, but we knew that we could improve. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not comfortable with sharing your work with other people to get critiques from other people, start small. Start with your family or your best friends, or, you know, people around you that you trust. Because if you trust them enough, then they're going to be honest with you. And that'll help you gain more confidence in what you're doing, because you're like, okay, these people aren't honest enough with me that I know what's right and what's wrong in this case. I guess no bit of creativity is wrong. No. But what is better in this case? I guess that's what I was trying to say. From a writer standpoint, you have a lot of different opinions on things. One of the things that I really like to do in my writing is called head hopping, which is when you go from one point of view in a chapter. Like, let's say you're in the main character's perspective, third person, you're in the main character's perspective, you're seeing everything from the main character's, and then you switch to like the mentor's perspective for a paragraph or two, and then go back. A lot of writers don't like that. I've had comments before where it's just like, you're head hopping here, you need to stop and stuff like that, which I do not take as you're a horrible writer, because I understand that a lot of people don't like to read head hopping because it's very jarring for some people, but I enjoy it. So there is a difference between critiques and hate comments, and there is a difference between things you can take and things you should take, not should. Should is a bad word.
Yes, it is a very bad word.
We're gonna go over that at some point.
Oh yeah, but
it's a bad word.
Oh yeah, but I think I agree with you, because it's funny that you mention it, and I think it's more or less people have different opinions on certain things if it's not done correctly. Like with the head hopping idea, the book I'm writing, which is a chapter book, I'm not sure how well that's gonna go because I like visual, but I'm gonna try and write it. But it's solely like to get, because it's got two main characters in it, and because of what the story is, it's so vital that you go from perspective to perspective on what it is. But there is kind of that worry, like, am I doing it correctly? Because obviously people aren't going to like it. That's one thing. But it's a matter of, are you going to make it sloppy because of it? Is it because these people are saying that's not good because of that reason? Or are they being hateful? You know? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, too, with, and I know I'm kind of like backtracking a little bit, when it comes to the idea of like getting critiques from your family, I think that's a good way to start. There's also another thing, though, that I would recommend a little bit more, because it's your art. Everyone's going to have a different perspective. And I think in your development of whether it's writing or music or video game development or whatever, the more important thing is, rather than building it off of what other people think, it should be based on what you want to do. Like, what improvement do you want to make? Because that's going to matter more, because you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. You know, mm-hmm. No one else has to look at your work again. You do, because it's yours, right? And so when it comes to art, I know one thing that helped me, because I know there were certain points where to help me, it actually helped get me out of art block at points, but it was kind of like, well, I want to improve, but what do I improve upon? And so at that point, there were certain anatomies of certain species that I didn't understand, and the idea of lighting and how to digitally render and things like that. And I was like, okay, so what I did was that I made a list of like, okay, what's these big things that you need to know? Because as an artist, it's very important to understand the art principles. It's like, okay, let me knock off this list. And I think in that alone, and having a list of like objectives of like, even if it's something like, I want to draw every day or almost every day, because I'll be honest with you, if you are able to draw every single day and keep yourself to that, you are like the god of art, because that's such a difficult thing, even for big professional artists to do. And but like that, like, I want to draw a smiley face every day. Even if it's not immediate, you're going to see improvement in that. It's kind of like gauged on like, okay, is that improvement I want? Or like, okay, well, I'm here now. I'm improving. I can keep this going. What could I add to that? You know? Like, let me draw a body with the smiley face. Maybe it starts a stick man at first or what have you. But that can work too. Because I know in my family, I love my family very much, but they always like to be very, very nice when it comes to my art, because I'm the artist of the family. So you don't get negative critique because I'm family, right? And so it makes it very hard to be like, oh, well, you don't need to improve. You're great. And it's like, yes, I do. I'm not having that honest feedback. But that's what I recommend. Like, first off, before you go like to that next step of asking family and friends, look at yourself and what you want to improve on. And then kind of be happy with yourself. Like, okay, I think it's good, but I don't know where to improve on. Then I think that's where you take the next step of like asking for critiques from other people.
Yeah. And I think, for instance, my older sister, she started her writing thing by telling me and my younger sister stories at night. There were stories she was coming up with at the top of her head, and she would just sit down with us for like as long as our parents would let us stay up and tell us stories at night, because she was comfortable doing that. In my case, I don't think I even told my parents I was writing a book until like 2 years later. It took me a while. I love my parents and I trust my parents. But I think another thing that happens, unfortunately, because I started writing in fifth grade. I started writing with a good friend of mine. And it wasn't that I didn't want to tell my parents. It was that young writers, young artists, young creatives get so much backlash, not from the community or anything, because most communities of creatives love young artists. They love young creative people because it's like the next generation of people coming in. More from, honestly, adults or teenagers in outside of the community, I want to say, because a lot of times if you ask a kid, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they say, I want to be a writer. I want to be an artist. I want to be a YouTuber. You're going to be like, oh, that's so nice. You don't take them seriously, though. You never do. I mean, like when a kid comes up to you and it's like, I want to be a paleontologist. You're like, I don't even know that word. Congratulations. Yeah. That's how I was when I was a kid, because I didn't want to say, I want to be an artist. I want to be a writer. So I would just, I want to be a paleontologist or something like that, or a doctor or something like that, because it gets money and it's a mostly stable career. Like, there's a chance you're gonna get there with writing or drawing or something like that. The first question that comes from a parent or a teacher is often, or even if they don't say it, but it comes to mind, what's the backup plan?
Oh, yeah.
The idea behind this. Where are you going? What are you gonna do other than that? That's a side project. Put that to the side. We need to learn how to just support them where they are, because yes, it is hard road. It is a hard road to be an artist of any kind, any type of creator. It is very hard to do anything with it. But if that's something important, we shouldn't start the conversation with, that's a good side project, but what else?
Oh, yeah. As someone who came from a family where it's like, even if I said, like, because when I was in kindergarten, I'm like, I want to be a biologist that studies in, like, reptiles and stuff, because I like snakes at the time. And my mom's like, that's great. What's plan B? I'd be like, oh, I want to be a veterinarian. She's like, okay, well, what's plan C? Kind of like ensuring that I had, like, a plan from A to Z in the event any of this careers failed, you know? And so what was interesting, though, is, like, even when I started getting into art, because it was a hobby at first, because they wanted to encourage that, right? Like, kids have hobbies. I did not have a hobby. They're like, that's bad. You're a kid. You should have one, right? Hence, I got into it. And they saw that I really clung on to it. And so I think that's why they were as supportive as they are. Because I feel like as you get older, granted, it's obviously because of outside influences, people may drop it. And it's like, well, why did you drop it? And it's because of outside influence, you know, and that support wasn't there. Well, you know, and that's such a crucial thinking for childhood development, even as like a whole, is like that support, because it's got so much to do with a person's self-esteem. And even if it's just as a child, it goes with you into adulthood. So many things go into adulthood, even if you didn't realize the impact of what that event had. It's like the butterfly effect, you know? And I feel like when you support a kid, not to the point where they feel like they almost become like narcissistic in a way, is like, I can do anything, like, ever. Like, it's, but in a sense of like, they have that confidence of like, yeah, this is a possibility. Because I think with any job, though, there are risks that you're not going to go through with it. I mean, I'd rather support my kid in being a writer and them actually having the opportunity to publish things and do what they love to do, rather than be like, well, you should probably be a doctor, and then have them give up in the middle of college because it's not what they want to do. And then go work some like at Walmart or something like that. It's so much more damaging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't teach kids to be proud of what they do, because, I mean, you get a 5-year-old come up to you with like a scribbled drawing, and your immediate reaction is, oh, you did such a good job. But when they get to be about 12, if they come up to you with any sort of drawing, it's, oh, good job. It's less excited. You're not going to put it on the fridge or on the wall or something like you do with a 5-year-old, which I'm not saying take every drawing that your 12-year-old makes and make a big poster of it. But how can we, not only as a community, but as a whole, support kids and even teenagers who also have this issue with teachers, especially when you get to senior year and junior year, because at that point you're supposed to is another bad word, by the way, guys, because you're supposed to be moving on. You're supposed to be choosing what's next for you. You're supposed to have a job. You're supposed to be driving. You're supposed to. The list goes on and on. But if you get to the end of the supposed to's and you're going to college for something you don't want to do, and you're driving a car and it terrifies you, and you've left every bit of yourself behind and you forgot how fun it was to create, then by the time you get to the end of the supposed to's, you have nothing. Because you're not getting any joy from this, which is really hard for anyone when you get to the end of your line and you're like, wow, that stunk. That was horrible. Why did I do that to myself? So what are some ways that we can support teen creators in their creative endeavors, I guess so.
I think a big thing that, even though I was bashing on it a little bit, like, because there's going to be like that bad side of social media, but there is importance in social media. I mean, the thing is that right now, and a lot of like and in the animation community mainly, I mean, animation studios like Netflix's animation studios and things like that, they're hiring people based on what their Instagram looks like and what they post there. I mean, the thing is, it's social media, it's got a very big advantage to it. And I think the idea of like having kids like post on there, obviously safely, I'm not saying like they should be like signing like their whole address and like credit card numbers and stuff on like your work, okay? But like posting on there, talking about it, and then encouraging them to post on there. And even it was something where when I was drawing, my brother was the one that was like, hey, post your stuff on Instagram. And I ended up having animators from big studios who followed and liked my work at the time, which honestly, now I'm like, I don't know why, probably just to support me because I bashed my own work. But that idea though, of having that support and everything, but not only just from social media, but having your outside sources to encourage it. Right. And influencing and like, hey, what if you tried posting here? What if you tried doing this? It's more influential in itself because it's not only just motivation and like that self-esteem boost, but it's also helping you in a professional stance of getting more involved with social media and the internet, because whether you like it or not, that's where the future's going. And that's where it's been for so long. And it's just further improving on it. But I think also too, like with parents and everything, I think mainly with jobs, don't be so harsh about it, because the reality of it is, at least in the United States right now, an animator makes really good money. Like, no, I'm not saying like millions and millions of dollars, has their own like 5 yachts or anything, right? But like they have enough money where they can pay their bills, they can have a house, they can, and then have some extra money on the side to splurge and spend on whatever they want. Like, they'll be good. Now, obviously that comes with a price though, because it depends on the art job, but the fact that that's so common here in the US with most art jobs, it's a good thing. Obviously you deal with freelance, and obviously writing has that too, where it's like you have a job until the project's done. Yes, but if they're more interacting with people in the studios, they're going to make connections. If you encourage your kid to go to art college, they not only develop their skills on it because of what they're being taught, but then also they're making connections with people. They are getting advice from people who have worked in the field before. Actually, in high school, right now, in a 2D animation class I took, in my sophomore year, my teacher was a professional animator and gave actual tips on things and has connections with that. And so the thing is that you don't know what connections you're going to make, where it's like, if you do have a freelance job, if you are known enough and everything, you could have consistent jobs lining up behind each other because of your work wanting to be wanted, where it can be secure. Or you do have those rare opportunities where a studio is like, no, I like you. You're not going anywhere. You're staying for for a lot of projects where it could last you until your retirement, you know. But I think be open-minded, like, because a lot of kids are talented. Like, there's 12-year-olds who are doing like hyper-realistic artwork, and I'm like, whoa, I could never.
Yeah.
But like, I don't even know where that skill came from in like that 12-year span. Like, you know, because at the age of 12, I was still playing with toys. I don't know how these kids are working so hard at it, you know, or even like with writing and everything. Like, I'm a very famous writer. She was an African-American woman, and her name was Phyllis Wheatley. And I mean, she was writing poems and actually was talked to by high government officials about her work. And she was 14 years old. Like, and it's just, don't be so close-minded on like the old ways of like, oh, artists are broke, writers are broke, they won't get anywhere, like, because it's not true. And I think it's unfortunate too, because when you have people like that, it's like, but they're not looking around. I mean, art and writing is everywhere. It's such an influential part. You will have a job in it, whether, like, no matter what, whether that be writing for newspapers or writing big blockbuster novels or whatever, it's gonna be there. You're gonna have a job. It's just a matter of having the motivation and the support to go after it.
And there's no guarantees in anything. And as a, like, from a loving parent's perspective, it's terrifying, you know, but there is no easy way to get to that point. That doesn't mean it's not worth it. No matter what job you want to take in the future, there's no easy way to get there. And the fact that if the kid is old enough to understand that, like, if we have a teenager now who's like, I know how hard this is going to be, but I want to do it. Respect. So much respect, because it is so, so hard to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it is hard because your brain doesn't work creatively 24/7. It wants to, and you want it to, but sometimes it breaks down and you need a break. And that means it might be a little bit harder for a little while, or life happens and it's harder to create, or you don't get the job that you want, or the studio doesn't say, hey, stay with us, we love this. It will always be hard, but that doesn't mean it isn't worth it. Because if you can get to that point where you're doing this full time, it is so worth it. And even if you can't get to that point, if you're still like, I still have to do another job, but I can do this, that still makes it worth it. It is teaching kids the value of hard work to get where you want to be eventually.
Yeah.
And eventually is such an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching the kids pride in their work. Because when you treat their work like, that's nice, dear, that kind of thing, their pride in what they've created goes down too. They're like, oh, well, my family or my friends or my teachers don't like this, so why do I like it? This is worthless. Why do I even care about this? Which is so demoralizing for any age. It's really hard to have anyone blow off your work as...
Oh, yeah. Like, I think, honestly, I mean, that could be even applied to anything in general. I mean, the idea of, like, there's a very big difference, and it's something I do with my little cousins, because one of them actually, because of me, wants to be an artist someday. And she's very young. She's got, yeah! So professional, I'm influencing people. And, well, getting there. But, like... she like, if she draws something, right, it shows it to me. I mean, I know the difference between, there's a very, very big difference between two comments, and this is something you can think of on your own, because it's going to have a very big difference in the way and the tone it is, between, oh, that's nice, dear, and, oh, that's really nice, I really like the colors you chose. There's a very big difference, because it's showing that you're paying attention to it more, and that you're giving kind of the sense of, there are elements I like, because that person's going to take it with them. Like, if AJ here, your lovely host over here, wrote a short story about, I don't know, ponies going after a pot of gold or whatever. I don't know. Like a spinoff of My Little Ponies or something, right? And I read it. Maybe even if in general, Grant, she's an amazing writer, and you should really go check out her stuff, because it's amazing. So I really doubt I'd have anything wrong with it. But let's say, like, I don't really like all of it, right? But I can be like, oh, you know, I really like, it's really good. Like, I really like how the ponies, you know, their adventures, and I like how they were, the jokes they were cracking. But maybe we don't have such a random villain in here. Maybe if, like, we changed a little bit. And obviously that's going to be different, like, with, obviously you're not going to tell a four-year-old that, because they're like, what do you mean? But, like, that wasn't even it at all, you know. But like with your teens and all, like if you're a parent and your teen's genuinely asking you for critiques, you can, it's important, I think, even in critiques anyway, I think it's very important to have like things you liked, but then mentioning those things you don't, because it's also going to be encouraging kids like, okay, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? Rather than just having the wrongs and then being like, then was this also wrong? Was this good? But it's also another self-esteem boost where it's kind of like, not just like directly like hurting you necessarily. It's like, yeah, I'm giving you like an ice cream cone before I hurt you, you know, like, kind of thing. Like before I like crush your hopes and dreams right now and to like soften the blow, like. But it also helps in a self-esteem mark because it'll keep kids where it's like, okay, I don't need to improve here because I'm doing really well here, but I can improve here, you know?
And I feel like, so we have, we're not bashing parents or anything like that.
Yeah.
You guys are great at what you do. We are grateful. We both have parents. They're great people.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, it's no longer... That's not what I meant to say. If you are respectful, if you are kind to your kids, and if you are giving them positive feedback and everything, and they lash out at you, like, how dare you say that about my work?
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer your problem.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for everyone involved, that is now the kids. The kid couldn't take the critique. The kid couldn't do that. And that is okay. That is mm-hmm. a lesson that they have to learn. At some point, it is no longer your responsibility to make them feel like they're doing something well. Mm-hmm. At some point, they learn. I mean, they learn from a young age what is good and what is bad. And eventually, it's no longer, you don't need to be, oh my gosh, it's so amazing at every turn. You have to say, well, it's great. You're doing a great job. This is how you can improve. The kid may take that poorly. The kid may not. And then you just have to be the brave one and say, okay, well, I was just trying to help. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll never come back to you. Maybe they will never change and they'll throw it all away, but it isn't your fault.
Yeah.
It was the kid.
It's the fact that you put in a effort rather than just tearing them down right off the bat. Mm. I'm very fortunate in the fact that I have a family who very much is supportive of what I do, and it's more or less along the lines of, as long as you're happy doing what you're doing, that's what matters most, you know. But there are families where it's like immediately they'll bash it. And if there's any parents out there who are for some reason listening to a couple teenagers talking about creative stuff, but like,
welcome.
I love my parents. I swear, I'm not trying to be like be mean to all parents out there. I know it's hard, but I think if your kid tells you, "I want to be a writer when I grow up," right? I would recommend that they do have backup plans in the event. And I'm not saying this because they'll fail, because they won't. They may not. There is a chance that they might, but there's a high chance that they won't. But giving a backup plan, like in the event that, like, if they go to college and it's like, you know what, I don't really know if I want to do this as a job, at least I have that plan. That's the only time I recommend like a backup plan for that. But if your child comes up to you, tells you that they want to be a writer, and the first thing you think of is no, why is that? Like, why is it?
Step back here.
Like, because I mean, yeah. Like, obviously, like, if they don't, like, because there's those fears, like, AJ was saying, was the idea of like, oh well, writers are broke, you know, they're not gonna make enough money to support themselves, you know, and like, oh well, they'll be inside all the time or whatever, right? Like those fears, right? The thing is that what I'd recommend is, if that's your mindset, do research, because you'll shock yourself a lot more. Like, I think, like, if your kid's like, I want to be an animator for Disney, look up how much Disney's paying artists. It's really, really good. Like, they'll be in a good place.
Slightly ridiculous good.
Yeah, like that mouse, he knows how to pay his people, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, and things like that. But that's not the only option. There are hundreds of animation studios. Obviously, some places are better than others, but there are a lot of options out there where it's like, if that's what your kid wants to do and they're very passionate in it, and if you're supportive of them doing that, they will be able to succeed. They'll be fine in the future. It's just a matter of, would you rather have that, or would you rather have issues with your child trying to find another job or even just getting back into that hobby again down the road? You know?
Yeah. And kids also have an open mind. Teens or kids listening or anyone in between, an 80-year-old woman, whoever is listening to this, have an open mind, because you may get to that point where you are an animator for Disney, or I can't even remember any other animation studios right
Pixar,
now.
Pixar, Cartoon Saloon, Kyoto's Animation Studio, Grand. They weren't doing so well recently, but they're another animation studio. You have Whip Studios in Japan, and they produce shows like Attack on Titan and things like that. Big, big shows making a lot of money, right? But
you know all the things that I don't know. Let's say that you do get into that kind of animation studio, and you just discover that, I don't know, you're not finding joy in it anymore because you're doing it to work this way, or the studio isn't what you thought it was, or they're not supporting you, or you don't agree with them, or whatever it is, whatever the reason, keep an open mind. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not getting joy in your creativity down the road, I mean, I know we were talking about earlier, if you're not doing what you love, then it's really not worth it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing what you love and you get to that point where you're in a place where it's not enjoyable anymore, take a step back. Say, okay, what was I doing before in contrast to what I'm doing now? Mm-hmm. Find the problem, because maybe the problem is just you. Maybe you're in a bad place right now and you're just like, this is horrible. But maybe the problem is you're not creating what you want to right now. You had a whole different idea of what you wanted to be creating, or I don't know, whatever it is. I'm not saying quit everything and go pursue your dreams.
Yeah.
I'm saying be aware of what your body is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not enjoying something, there's probably a reason that everything is off.
Oh, yeah. Like, another thing, too, is with that idea, like, another thing that can come up that professional artists have realized, and why they do much more, like, personal work nowadays, or kind of have opened like their own business of like doing like commissions and things like that, rather than being in a big studio, is because they realize the unfortunate thing about doing something professionally with that demand of doing it like 9 to 5, 5 days a week, it can cause you to dislike it more, because it's not the same as like, oh, being a kid and just drawing like while cartoons are playing on the TV or whatever. It's not the same anymore. And some people get discouraged where it's like they don't even want to do it anymore because it's just seen as a job, not a passion. And not all people, like there's some people like myself where it's like, even if I was in a work environment, it'd probably do better for me because I've got that guidance of projects to do. And like, I know what I have to draw, like Mickey Mouse balancing on a bouncing ball, holding a couple apple pies. Like that's going to give me more direction. Like if that's something to do, I'd be okay with that. But I think the thing is too, is like with the idea of like taking a step back, like if you worked in animation, I will warn you, if you work there, there are certain jobs that you will get at first because you're an apprentice, or, you know, like a beginner, you're being introduced.
You're an apprentice, artist apprentice. I love that.
Well, it's true. That's the term. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, they got all sophisticated. But
see, we're professionals. They're apprentices.
Yes, exactly. Obviously, we have a podcast. They don't. You have to remember, like with with animation, you'll probably start with cleanup, which is something that they are lacking a lot of people in because it's not fun and it's very, very difficult to do. But they're doing it more or less out of seeing how your art skill is, how well you work with another person in guidance, like back in the 2D animation days where everything was done on paper, your rough animator would talk with your cleanup artist to give them guidance on what they're doing. Because artists, they differ. Like sometimes people will have scribbles on there and that's the rough animation and it's very hard to see. Other people, they have it where it's pretty much the cleanup version of it. It just depends on the artist you have, but you're not always gonna be lucky with the ladder. And so it's like, even being discouraged, just remember that may not be a permanent job. It's just for now, until the studio thinks you're ready to move on to a different position. Or even if an animation, if you get there, it's like, I don't really like doing this. Take a step back and be like, okay, well, is there another job in that field that you would enjoy? Like, maybe rather instead of animation, you're like, you know what? I think I'd be character design, you know, or concept art. And all the thing is that with an art degree, depending on the art degree you get, it can be very expansive to a lot of different jobs within the same environment. And so it's not like I'm either an animator or I don't work in the animation field, because it's not true. There's a lot of other jobs that may fit better for you. Or maybe you do realize, like, you know what, I don't think I can do this as a job. I'd rather as a hobby. That's okay too. It's not a bad thing. Or even if it's like, you know, I want to do something with my art or my writing, but I don't know what to do. The thing is that you have such a long time to figure it out. Like, with the idea of like growing up, I know earlier AJ had mentioned how, you know, like this the bad word of supposed to, like the idea of like, oh, by the age of 18, you're supposed to know how to function as an adult. You're supposed to have a job. You're supposed to know how to drive. That's not true. You have a lot of time to figure it out. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't learn how to drive until they're in their mid-20s. I mean, what's funny is that I was talking to a teacher about this, and she told me it's like, by the time your 20s end, that's when you figure out how to be an adult. You have your entire 20s to figure out how to be an adult, because there is no way you would know how to by the age of 18. And this is a grown adult who has worked with so many different people for so many years, who's told me this. Like, you don't have pressure to have it all figured out right away. And I think that's another thing that discourages people too, is like, I'm not where I'm at right now. And it's like, you don't have to be though. You have time. You have many years to figure it out. There is no time limit on creativity.
Yeah. You couldn't hear me when you said by the age of 18 you're supposed to figure out how to function as an adult, but I was laughing so hard because I was like, I feel like Mary and I we're gonna have a problem because we don't know how to function as human beings, let alone an adult.
that's why we got our 20s. It's okay.
Maybe we might want to extend that into the 30s too, but like, totally. Because I think so much of your insecurity as a creative person comes from, well, I should be better at this now. Mm-hmm. I should be in a different place right now. I could be doing something better. I could be, you know, A, B, C, D, E, all the way down to Z. You could be doing anything. And the only way to get where you want to go is to do it. We started by saying, I'm a writer. Mary's an artist. I have nothing published. I haven't officially published anything. There's plenty of stuff on a website. I have a Critique Circle account, which is basically a bunch of writers come together and critique each other's work. I have a ton of writing on that, and I do a lot of writing. But from the world's perspective, I don't think anyone would look at me and be like, oh yeah, she's a writer, because then they're like, oh, what have you written? Mm-hmm. And that's such a weird question to answer, but be proud of that, because if you write, you are a writer. If you draw, you are an artist. Even if you're just drawing a smiley face, you're still an artist. If you take pictures, you're a photographer. If you make videos and post them on YouTube, you're a YouTuber. Congratulations, you made it. You have that title. What do you do with it now?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of like, this is like the most annoying conversation. And I know, like, if there's any other artists listening to this, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this, is if someone, like, if you're drawing or whatever, and someone notices it, or even if you show them something and they're like, oh, I can't even draw a stick figure. okay, is one of the most annoying conversations. That and being asked all the time, can you draw me? It's like the two number one, like most annoying things you will hear as an artist. And with that though, it's like, okay, but how do you know that? Like, because if you try, you can do it because you just did it. Like, that's the thing. I think with a lot of people, it's interesting because there was an artist on YouTube. I forget their YouTube channel's name. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it right now. It's like, and I know when I look at it later, it's, I'm going to smack myself upside the head because it's like on the tip of my tongue right now. But they were actually, while they were drawing, they were going over comments like this that happened to be like kind of what our podcast is about. And one of them was like, oh, well, I get so discouraged that I don't even draw at all. And they're like, well, you need to fix that right now because of the fact that if you're not drawing, you're not improving. Because like what AJ says, like even if you're drawing a smiley face, you're an artist. And that's very, very true. It's the fact that you did it that is such a big accomplishment in itself that you should be absolutely like celebrating over because you did it. I mean, like for me, like AJ hasn't written anything or well published anything, but they
no, I don't write at all.
AJ hasn't published anything, but she's written a lot of things. I mean, she's got plans for things that we're working on.
Some I'm writing things notes right now.
Yeah, see, like she's doing it. Even if she's not big like Stephen King, she's out here still doing it. And I know that she'll be a big author in the future.
Oh,
you know, and of course. And for me, like, what's funny is that AJ, before we started this podcast, was like, oh, if you have any like social media tags, you could say something. And I'm like, I'm not even going to bother because I don't post on there. I mean, I haven't posted on Instagram in 2 years. But the thing is that, but I still draw all the time. You know, I'm still improving. There's still things that eventually I'll start posting on social media again, but it doesn't define the fact that now I'm an artist because I do that necessarily, or because I have a million followers on YouTube and I draw all the time. Like that's not defining of me of being an artist. As long as you're doing it and you're happy with it and all that, you are what you are, like a musician or a writer or artist or game player or whatever it is, professional hopscotch player, I don't care. As long
if
as
you're a
doing...
professional hopscotch player, let me know because yeah. I want to meet you.
I want to know if you guys have championships because I will attend. I will be your number one fan.
Oh yeah, Marinelle will be there like dressed in the brightest colors imaginable, like cheering you on.
Yeah. Hopscotch is hard. I give people credit for that.
Oh, seriously. So I'm gonna say this and it's gonna be, I'm just gonna say it and then I'm gonna explain why I wasn't thinking about saying it. I found that probably one of the hardest creative endeavors is posting on YouTube or podcasting. And I know people disagree with me on that, but here's why. When you publish a podcast or post a YouTube video for the first time, no one is going to listen. Hate to break it to you. Or even when you post, no one's going to like, no one's going to subscribe, no one's going to listen to it except for your closest friends and family. Anybody you tell about it, they're going to look at it. Nobody else. And that is so hard sometimes when you're sitting there with this YouTube video that you posted that you wanted to put something out there and no one watched it. But there's so many different podcasts. I have right now 3 different podcasts. I don't have a lot of listeners, guys. Except for you guys. You guys are great. And I love and appreciate all of my listeners, but when I first started, nobody listened to it. And that's okay. Because if you keep going and if you put yourself out there, it's terrifying, I know. But social media is great. We just got a social media account. Like, I think when you're listening to this, it won't be today, but today. I don't remember. One of my crew set it up. It's useful. It's not, gets a lot of backlash because social media isn't 100% always grand, but find your community. Find the people that you're writing for or you're creating for, because those are the people who are going to be interested. And maybe there's going to be like random guy sees your podcast or YouTube and it's just like, oh, this is so cool. And suddenly he's your number one fan and he's contributing and he's a Patreon supporter or whatever. The best way to start a project is to start a project. That is the best creative advice I have ever gotten. You want to be a writer? Write. You want to be a podcaster? Start recording. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Congratulations, you have a title now. Mm-hmm. Like, now I have the podcaster label, which I guess it, label is always a weird word because people don't like to be labeled, but it's a positive label. I am a podcaster. I can say that with 100% surety because I have posted things on many different podcast places. Mm-hmm. And so you never really know what's going to happen until you do it.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be disappointing. It'll always be disappointing, but eventually it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it be like the first, like, even like on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, it's like your first post, you could get no views. Even your 100th post, you could get no views. It doesn't mean you're bad at what you do. It doesn't mean that you don't deserve that title. You still do. It just, you haven't found the right, like, the people haven't found your thing yet. I mean, like, even on YouTube, the expectation of getting so many followers like the first day is a very silly thought because of the fact that there are millions upon billions of accounts on YouTube, and the way that the algorithm is, that's a very big thing too. And I think that's something to keep in mind because social media will vary. So even if your thing's not popular right now, it could jump in popularity. It just depends on what the YouTube peoples in the background decide is most popular right now and if they're going to show your content or not. Because it also depends, like, well, what's it similar to and how, like, it's very technical stuff, right? And so as long as you're posting to post, then great. Good for you. That's one way to get out there. If you're just writing for you and just wanting to work on writing for you, then good for you. Great. You're a writer and you're doing really well because you're still going at it. And I think that's a big thing about like improvement and all that, and that sort of fear of not improving. It's like, as long as you were doing it, you're improving. Even if it's not immediately, you are, over time, you're gonna see that improvement and change. And when you get to that point, it is so worth it, because then that's not the first chapter. That's not like the end of the book, that's the first chapter. And then you're gonna have another point where you get even further beyond that and improve even further than that. And then when you look at the first thing you did, you're like, oh, wow, I really improved this time, you know, and it keeps going and going. And I think too, is like, don't be so set on numbers, because it's what's gonna lead to failure. It's like, if you wanted to be a writer, you wanted to write. Right? You didn't want subscribers. You didn't want a bunch of people to share your work. You know, I mean, maybe that's like a dream down the road, but that's not like the initial idea. It's like, I want to be a writer because I want to write a bunch of words on paper or type a bunch of buttons on a laptop and be like, yes, that's a story. I like it. Right? It's not, I want to write so then I become the number one YouTuber ever and have all the views and all the subscribers and everything.
I'm going to be the new Mr. Beast.
Yeah, I want to be the new Mr. Beast, okay? And all that. That's not why you should be getting into it, you know? Because then you're not getting into it for the passion anymore. And that's not worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm. So, to sum up what we talked about... Let's see if we can get this all in one sentence. Let's see how it goes. Be supportive, not only of the people around you, but of yourself. do not expect too much of yourself right off the bat, because guess what? You're not going to get exactly what you want right away. So, and congratulations, you have now learned that you have your very own title, whether that be writer, podcaster, YouTuber, photographer, artist, hopscotch championship, whatever it is that you do, you have a title. And we are grateful that you have listened to our Creators Workshop episode, and we hope you will come back again eventually.
Yes, come support my friend. She's great. She has a lot of cool stuff, and I know she's gonna have a lot of cool people on here too in the future.
Yes, like my good friend Mary. She will be here as often as I can make her.
Yes.
And did you want to plug any socials?
Okay. The only thing I could think of is my TikTok account. It's is a silly goose, which sounds silly, I know. I did it on purpose, but it's IZA and then silly goose, how you would expect that to be spelled, because I'm not really good at spelling, so I wasn't wanting to complicate that. And there, I'm not posting right now. I'm hoping that I can post more. I might actually post content about our children's book that we're writing right now.
Yes.
And show some of the artwork of that, and also my own personal projects, like my comic City is a Smoke that I'm working on at the moment, and all that. But other than that, no. You should go and check out your lovely host's other podcasts, because they're absolutely amazing.
Yes, so I have two other podcasts as of this date. I have Cookie Dice is a TTRPG D&D podcast where we play everything from D&D to Dungeon World to who knows what we're doing anymore. And CTP, which is just getting restarted again, we have one trailer out. Contain, Train, Preserve is an audio drama set in 2175?
I think so, yeah.
Things I should know that I don't know.
Like we said, it's getting rebooted. We're starting production on it again.
Yes, and Mary will be helping me on writing that. And you can look at our website, cookie-dice.com. That's cookie-dice.com. Or familyfriendlypodcasts.com. And you can find us on Instagram. That was just set up today, so I have to remember the thingy at, I think it's at Fam Friendly Pod. So you can look at that too. We will not have anything posted for a while because, as I said, today. But thank you for listening. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.